Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings, buy one get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties, buy two get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Welcome back into hour two of Sports Talk here at the Treasure Chest Casino. Steve Geller along with Mike Dettillier. And boy, oh boy, that Notre Dame Fighting Irish coming out big the last couple of seconds in the Sugar Bowl over here, Mike.
Yeah.
Putting up some major points on the Bulldogs. Now lead 20-3 after halftime.
In 53 seconds.
53. Not even a full minute.
They scored 17 points.
Oof.
No, when we're talking to Ryan, you know, it was 3-3, and we're talking about this sort of looks like a game in Georgia's lane of traffic. Not anymore. This is the sort of deal Notre Dame has done throughout the season other than one, that early season upset loss. And so, man, to see it and then run back the opening kickoff of the second half all the way back for a score, 20-3. Man, the way Georgia's offense is playing right now, Steve, it ain't too good, to be honest with you. But he had great blocking early on. But then, boy, once the sea parted, then speed took over. Speed had never had a bad day in his life. Never. Never has had
you
a bad
say
day.
You can't teach it.
And so, man, Notre Dame, in what we have talked about last week and now today, when they jump on you, man, they like a bad cat. And they catch you pretty good, 20-3. And like I say, when it was 3-3, this sort of looked like the type of game Kirby Smart had been involved with so many times with this Georgia team. Gunnar Stockton, we're going to find out a lot about him today.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
A lot of Georgia fans, oh, you know, he was the better quarterback than Carson Beck. You better start thinking a little bit about that. Man, the one thing, you know, okay, he was erratic, Carson Beck, no question about it. But he's the type of guy that can get you back in a game like this. I'm not real sure about Gunner, and we're fixing to see. But, man, their defense is playing sick'em out there. Every play, you see them jumping the edges and getting a lot of people in the backfield of Georgia and affecting Gunnar Stockton's throws.
Really awesome to see the crowd, obviously, in full force at the Sugar Bowl, too, despite the unfortunate events that occurred the other day with the terrorist attack here on the New Orleans city. But everybody able to still come out strong in a strong showing crowd-wise for the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, no question about it. Charlie had to fight the traffic. You and I, we came to Kenner.
Right, we're in Kenner.
You know, so we didn't have to fight it downtown. But man, that was so many people downtown. And it was, you know, kind of warmed your heart because, you know, bad things are going to happen in life. I think we're living in those times, and you can't let that overtake your life. And I think we're seeing it today to have this done, the crowd that was there. The only thing you really feel bad about, so many people, you know, the way they had booked their hotel and airplane flights,
right.
You're kind of stuck, you know, in that spot. And so, man, you feel bad for them of having to redo it or just to say, you know what, I'm going to throw the towel in. I'm not going to make it. But, man, that was huge crowds in and around Poydras Street leading up to the Superdome, and really great to see.
Yeah, what I'm hoping at least is that the hotels and airlines were working with a lot of those people to make those accommodations work for them, considering the situation that happened.
Yeah, the other part about it is you don't know everybody's work schedule.
Right.
See, that's the other part of it. Some people, that you know, they maybe had planned it and then planning on maybe being back at work for the either the Thursday or the Friday. So you don't know. And, man, unexpected. I mean, most of us would have never thought this would have happened here. You know, you'd have thought, you know, if New York or Los Angeles or Chicago. No, but it happened in our backyard, and it just kind of opened your eyes to what we, you know, I hate to
the
say
evils it. Evils in the world.
Yeah, there's so much of that out there. And what would get somebody to do that and, you know, to take the lives of innocent people on a New Year's night? Just awful.
Yeah, considering obviously the crowd in town you knew for the Sugar Bowl and it being, you know, a New Year's evening in New Orleans, definitely unfortunate events. And I know more and more information still coming out about everything. Just curious, the intention or why New Orleans and why, you know, making it from Texas to here to pull this off just seems so ridiculous. And unfortunately, you know, but we're never going to get really, I think, all the answers.
Steve, you never can define what makes somebody turn evil.
Yeah.
In life. You really can't define what's the trigger point in that. But we see it, you know, and then, like I say, for most of us, we didn't think it would happen here. And yet, you know, it happens right now, backyard.
This hour, Mike, we're going to be talking a lot about the Saints and also Pelicans. What's going to be going on with them? Unfortunately, the losing skid continues for the Birds. Another tough one for them in Miami last night.
Goodness.
Man, oh, man. And you just look all around with this team, and they look kind of lost right now. And I don't know what Willie Green can do, the head coach, to get this team back on track.
So Hebert was telling me, Mike, we got to split against the Wizards. They bad. I said, you know what? I think the Wizards are saying the exact same thing. You know, and they may somebody
they
may come
sixth win finally.
Right, somebody may come out of this with two wins, but as bad as the season was for the Saints, and I think you and I thought this would not be a winning season. Now, we thought they'd win more than five games
for sure.
The shocker for me in sports is how it came apart so quickly for the Pelicans. All the hype of the offseason, and you look how they played throughout mostly last year, and when you were healthy, you were a really good basketball team. And then you get DeJounte Murray to come in to kind of be the orchestra leader, and you thought, man, you know, you got a shot at something this year. Man, it ain't nothing worked out. I know injuries certainly have played a part in it, but Steve, this is, of all the things that happened sports-wise locally, the Pelicans were a surprise for me of how they started this season.
Right, because how they ended last year,
yeah.
You were building more hope.
And you don't see a light at the end of the tunnel.
No.
You really don't.
And we're just a month away from the NBA trade deadline, and we figure that this team is going to be making some moves and doing some roster dump. But
we'll
see. What are they going to get back in
return? Well, my thing is
the value down,
man,
on all these guys.
The Red Cross is there for a reason, but I'm not going to be the Red Cross team. I'm not giving you up anything.
Yeah,
you
got to
give me fair
too.
Deal on any, you know, any kind of trade value. So we'll see if something can be done. But if it's a giveaway, then I'm against it.
We'll get into more Pels talk and the trade rumors all around the Birds when we get back from the break. Chris Dotson, who covers the NBA for Clutch Points, will join us. We're here at the Treasure Chest Casino till 7 p.m. We'll be giving you updates on the Sugar Bowl as it's going on right now. Notre Dame's jumped out to a 20-3 lead over Georgia. We still got 13 minutes left in the third quarter there, but coming back with more sports talk. So stay tuned right after this here on WWL.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back here to the Treasure Chest Casino for our Thursday edition of Sports Talk. And Georgia not going down and dying just yet. They have put another touchdown on the board. It is now 20-9, pending an extra point here, waiting on that from the Bulldogs. Notre Dame still on top in this matchup. Before we go further, talking some Pelicans, Mike, I know you got some big LSU recruiting news that just came out.
Yeah, Gunnar Stockton hit that pass to Cash Jones. Boy, somebody blew the coverage at linebacker. Cash came out of there clean, and Gunnar spotted him. So looks as though it'll be a 20-10 game for Notre Dame over Georgia in the third quarter. But LSU has landed. Now, again, this ain't worth the piece of paper it's written on, but they landed the eighth best defensive lineman in the country. And Jerralyn McCoy, who's a 6 foot, 6.5, 245 pound defensive end from Mississippi. Man, he had a bunch of teams after him. USC, Tennessee, Miami of Florida.
Wait. How big did you say this gentleman is?
He's 6 foot, 6.5, 245. Ooh, no, he came to our Louisiana line camp right before his sophomore year. Now, he wasn't weighing no 245. I know that. he was more like that second number was a one. So it was somewhere in there. But he, almost every time he walked, he looked like he was riding a small horse. I mean, he sort of towered over everybody there. So LSU gets a big commitment for 2026. Now, here's the hard part, keeping him committed to LSU. So they did get Jerralyn McCoy from Mississippi, and looks as though USC had the money bag out at that time, too, to try to grab him just like they did Stewart from New Orleans.
Mike, now on the line with us, Chris Dodson, who covers the NBA for Clutch Points. Always a joy to talk to you, Chris. Happy New Year. How you been, man?
Hey, man, doing about as well as we can. Happy New Year to y'all and everybody listening. Appreciate you having me on.
When you look at this Pelicans team right now, obviously, Chris, there's a ton of trade rumors that have been swirling around, whether it's Brandon Ingram, Zion Williamson, or heck, everybody pretty much on the roster has been up for grabs, it seems, in the trade winds. But what have you been hearing the latest going forward with this team and the trade deadline? I know we're basically a month away now.
Yeah, been hearing a lot of things from a lot of different places. I think the biggest takeaway, though, is you would probably see Brandon Ingram moved before Zion Williamson. A big part of that is just, one, Zion's contract. They only have 20% guaranteed now. If he plays 51 games, it's 80%. It's going to count for more or less different in the summer. But they're really making a priority to get Brandon Ingram to a new home, or with this new management, maybe get him to a short-term deal in New Orleans. But I think that would be the more unlikely of the two options.
Chris, no, I get asked about it a lot, so I'm going to ask you, when we expect Zion Williamson to get back on the court for real? I mean, none of this play stuff on, you know, just taking a few shots, but actually get it on the court in a real game.
Yeah, until you hear the team say he's playing 5-on-5 at practice, we won't see him in a 5-on-5 game. They've been so careful with him all over these years. I don't think you'll see him jump and skip a step now. Just to get back on the court and build up his value, you know, the trade value before the trade deadline, or trying to hit the 51 games. But I do think we will see him back more towards the front end of January than the back end of January.
When you look at it, I was telling Steve, me and Bobby and I were having this conversation with the Wizards up next. You know, back-to-back games. Bob was like, Mike, come on, they can't lose both these games. I was like, listen, I ain't real sure about that. He said, at least they got a split. But, man, you're talking about the two sort of bottom-of-the-barrel teams right now, record-wise, in the NBA. Now, so the Wizards, they got a win the other night. But, good gracious, when I think about Saints and LSU and Tulane and everything we've covered in 2025, how this has kind of just come apart for the Pelicans is the biggest surprise. Because I think for a lot of people, including myself, I didn't think the Saints would have a winning record. I thought LSU would be kind of in the zip code that they were. Tulane, John's done a great job there. But I didn't think it would be this bad. Now, injuries certainly got plays a part in it, but Chris, I think you'd agree, it's more than injuries, too. This team really doesn't have an identity at all out on the court.
Yeah, they definitely don't have an identity. The source told me back when the Pels played in Memphis, and that's the two teams I'm covering back and forth up I-55, that the Birmingham squadron run the offense better than the Pelicans, and they run the same offense. And you were mentioning all the other teams. The great thing about this city is, yeah, we expect a lot from our sport teams, but we're not going into every year thinking championship. We just want to see you represent us well, be competitive, give us some playoff games, and, hey, if there's a little bit of hope of a title in there, that never hurts. But this Pelicans team does lack an identity. They lack, obviously, the wins, and this is going to be tough for the locker room to hear, but they still think they can get to the 10th seed. You know, some of these guys really believe they can go on a run. If everybody gets healthy, they'll talk that up. But having Washington, like you guys are just mentioning, back-to-back, if they even split those, you've got to have some conversations, you know, as players, because even though Washington has been playing great and they just got a win, they also had a 20-point loss on their record last week. You've got to come out, and if you think you have more talent than Washington and you think you've got a chance as a player and that locker room really believes it, you got to go into Washington. You got to get wins. You got to win at home. You got to start reeling some things off, or again, those players are going to have a conversation like the fans are having about the tank job, the trade, and who's going to wind up where, because we need a reset here in New Orleans for a team that does have an identity that will represent this city.
Yeah, looking at this Wizards team coming to the Smoothie King Center, I know they just have one road win on the season like the Pels this season, but do we have to worry about, Chris, at all, a Jonas Valanciunas revenge game tomorrow?
Well, you got to worry about his revenge game just because of the way – I mean, they let him start. He played 3 minutes, and then they sat him the rest of the game. There's – every fan in the Smoothie King Center and watching at home will realize that JV has every reason to feel slighted by this organization because of the way things played out last year. The way they used him, the way they just kind of, okay, he's there but not really going to be here. We'll let him start but never use look at him again. If him and Kyle Kuzma get going early – JV might have another one of those 20 and 20 type of nights that we all know can still happen. And I would hate to see it happen to the Pelicans, but I would understand it and have a little bit of joy for JV in my heart. So I'll leave it at that.
When you look at the Pels, they could be getting back a little extra to the lineup in this game tomorrow night. It was announced Jose Alvarado at practice saying he's going to be suiting up. So at least there's another body coming back for this team.
There's another body coming back to this team, and it's the exact right body considering the situation and the tragedy the city just faced. I know the team put out a statement, but this is a wonderful opportunity for them to make some tickets, $14 for the victims. All that money should go to proceeds to help some families, and Jose should be able to get out there and put a spark in the Smoothie King Center that should be more full than usual, just because I think a lot of us want to go do something besides think about the tragedies that have been hitting the city between buildings collapsing and Bourbon Street. It's going to be big. It's going to be huge for this city, and I hope everybody shows up with the right intentions at heart.
Chris, I was going to ask you about that because that building collapse, that's not too far from your place, right?
No, it's two doors down from me. I was 30 seconds away, about to walk that way. We bapped it. It was 42 steps from my front porch to the first brick. And sadly, I didn't have my car in the right spot. I was hoping that thing would get paid off, but you know, we was in the parking lot across the street. I do feel bad for Ms. Lily, though. I know that they're doing some stuff for her, and she lost her car. But, yeah, the building is literally right next door. That burned-out building is my backyard.
No, I'm glad you well with everything. Yves Messe, he was named the NBA's Western Conference Rookie of the Month. And I think of all the surprises, it's how well he's played this year. With everything that has been negative with this team, and certainly Brandon Brown, what picking him up, I think, too, was a really nice addition. But, man, you can see this young man got some talent. Now, you know, it's going to be a little while before he can piece everything together. But you see the long-term talent skill set that you have in Messi.
Yeah, hey, we were just talking about building collapse. So we can go out there and grab some bricks, right? He's missed his name on it. He's a building block for the future. You can tell his identity. You know what you're getting from him every night. He played through a shoulder injury. He's been out there with a busted lip. He's doing things on the court that I did not expect to see him doing until his third season. And I know he's really ahead of schedule with the team as well. Because, I mean, he's doing stuff off the dribble, off the bounce. He's taking shots that, I mean, fans are happy to see him take, and I never thought that would be the case. And it's just been amazing to watch his growth. But the way he's picked up the game, he's a very smart individual. You get around him just for like 5 minutes, and you can tell, I mean, he knows three different languages. Basketball is not that complicated of a sport. You put the ball in a hoop, you set the screen, you get up a lot of effort on defense. And he's doing all those things, and they're letting him grow his game. And, yeah, you're right. It's one of the better blessings of this season to see is his development.
With everything that's gone on with the Pelicans, the Saints season is coming to a close on Sunday. So, you know, NBA basketball will be full, you know, center stage for fans here right now. What can this team do? Obviously, I think that you look at the standings and getting back even into play-in contention isn't even a thought for anybody at this moment. But what can the Pelicans do to regain some fan interest as we have the NFL season for the black and gold wrapping up, and they're going to be basically the only ticket in town.
Yeah, to touch on it, nobody believes it. The fans want to see the tank, but again, this locker room and some of these people still believe a 10th seed for that play-in tournament is possible. And I was talking with some folks, and they say all they have to do right now is go 500 before the Mardi Gras break. Get through January, you know, with a 500 record and see what you have in a winning situation. Let's get the morale up a little bit. And if you can do that, then you get Mardi Gras through the city, you get a few more wins, and who knows? With Luka going down, with Golden State losing, what, 9 of the last 11, there's going to be a few of these teams that fall back to earth. Sacramento's fallen down already. You never know if this team gets on a run what might happen under Willie Green. And maybe some of us would hate to see it because we want to chase Cooper Flagg, but they're competitors in that locker room. They're competitors in the front office. They know what the season is, where it's going, and how most people think it should go. But they're going to keep fighting for that next paycheck and for the next win, at least for the next month. If they lose too much, then you'll see some sell-off. But that's what I want to see. Just go 500 through the next month.
Chris, if folks go to Clutch Points right now, what can they find out there? What do you have posted going on?
Well, I just did a big thing with Jaren Jackson Jr. and the All-Star. That's for Memphis folks. It might have been tuning in. I had a few of them on Twitter asking me about some trades between the Pelicans and the Grizzlies. But I'm going to be doing a few things on Brandon Boston and how he's really deserved the contract. And some little trade opportunities, some things I've been hearing. Things like with Marcus Smart coming in for Brandon Ingram. I don't think the team wants to keep Marcus Smart. He's a 6'3 guard. He's 30 years old. And finding a third team is going to be complex in those sorts of situations. But I'm going to drop some stuff like that over the next couple of days.
Always appreciate your time, Chris. Thanks so much, man.
Thanks so much, Chris.
Thanks, guys.
Chris Dotson, who covers the NBA for Clutch Points. You can check out all his work there. We are still in the third quarter over at the Sugar Bowl looking at things, Mike, and it is 20-10, still Notre Dame having the lead over Georgia. Going to be curious here what's going on with the spot of the football right now, or was there contesting a turnover?
No, it's contesting exactly where he fell with it, if it was a first down or not, and where his knee hit. Because the ball's clearly over, but, you know, it's also about knee and everything else. To me, it looked as though he probably got the first down. But where they marked that, man, it is really, really close.
I see the chain gang coming out here. Let's see what that ends up saying. But if you're looking just by the marker on the television, it looks like it's just a little short.
See, man, I thought the way he hung the ball out there, he might have gotten it. But
not a good spot then.
not a good spot if you're a Notre Dame fan.
Right.
Because now, basically, you kind of got to make the big decision on what you want to do. But, man, Notre Dame's defense has really been the story today. And also special teams. And when you play in these type games, you got to win the special teams part of the game. And they have done, other than the mess up on the coverage on Cash Jones, they have done a really, really good job. So now they've set up Georgia with a short field, basically giving them the football at the 50-yard line. And let's see if Georgia can take advantage of it with 5:42 left in the third quarter.
Yeah, down but far from being out of this right now for the Bulldogs.
Well, man, Gunnar Stockton, it's his moment, okay? It's his moment now. He's got to be able to pull this out.
Definitely looking at our picks for these games. I know I had a rough go at it. When we get back, we're going to get into our pick six segment right here on WWL, the Treasure Chest Casino. Definitely take Mike's advice for sure. You'd be doing all right this season, or Charlie's. Me and A-Bear have been horrible. We'll find out the complete standings, though, when we get back after this break. So stay tuned here on WWL. Well, just like that, we're back here on Sports Talk, and Notre Dame's got the ball back after the Georgia Bulldogs couldn't do nothing with it after getting
it
midfield there, and even went for it on fourth down. Nothing.
No, man, again, Notre Dame's defense and that big special teams run back kickoff has really been the story today. Notre Dame's defense has really been smothering, other than you give up one big play.
All right, time to get into our Pick 6 segment here on Sports Talk. And, Charlie, what you got for us, although I know it is not good for me.
It's an incomplete score for everybody as of now, guys. But if we're going off the 7 games that are already completed, I went 3-4. Bad week for me. Boise really kind of messed me up. Texas messed all of us up. Mike, you went 4-3. Bobby went 4-3. Steve, 2-5, as you mentioned, not a great week for you. Where Bobby had me is the Vikings game against the Packers. We got him back with the Raiders against the Saints. But that Penn State-Boise State game is really going to haunt me for this one here, guys. So, you know, we still have the Georgia, you know, results left to go. All of us picked Georgia in this game, so it's not looking good for any of us at this point. But we'll see what happens. We're not going to pick the Orange Bowl just yet, guys, because we don't know if it's going to be Georgia or if it's going to be Notre Dame and what the line's going to be for that game against Penn State. But we will be picking the Cotton Bowl this week on Friday, January 10th, number 8, Ohio State, 6-point favorites right now versus number 5, Texas.
Ohio State.
Yeah, the way they've been looking, it's hard to pick against the Buckeyes right now who've been rolling. I do like Texas, but, man, give me the Buckeyes, too. I'm rolling with them, like Mike said.
It's really funny because I think this line open is like Texas minus 2 initially, and a ton of money. I mean, a ton of money came on the Buckeyes. So now they're 6-point favorites, and I like the 6. If it were 7.5, maybe I'd be leaning Texas. But I've been riding with Ohio State for quite a while now, guys. I'm with both of you. Give me the Buckeyes in the Cotton Bowl. NFL Week 18, we got 4 games to pick from. As I mentioned, we'll be picking the Orange Bowl later. I'll let everybody know what the picks are once we know, you know, the spread, the opponent, all that good stuff. So we're going to move on to NFL Week 18. Saturday Night Football, the Bengals 2.5-point favorites at the Steelers with their playoff chances on the line. They need some other things to happen, but 2.5-point favorites in Pittsburgh.
I'm going to go with Cincinnati. Man, that last game was so tight. Ended up being a Steelers win. But, man, you know, for the Steelers to keep, you know, the Bengals to keep that heartbeat, they got to win. So I'm going to go with Joe Burrow and company.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mike. I believe in Burrow, and I think this will be a tight matchup. But
yeah, I agree.
Cincinnati here, I see them pulling away to get the victory, and hopefully we get a Joe Burrow sighting in the postseason.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot for that to happen. I don't know what's going to happen with that Chiefs-Broncos game. I know the Broncos are like 10.5-point favorites against Kansas City because they've locked up the one seed. They're resting everybody. So it's probably going to be Denver snagging that 7th spot in the playoffs. You know, we'd love to see Joe and, you know, Jamar and the guys make it in, but I just don't see it. However, I do agree with both of you. I do think the Bengals pull off this win at the Steelers. They're just red hot right now, guys. And the Broncos, with everything to play for, you know, potentially if they would have won that game this past weekend, they would have been booking their first ticket to the playoffs since they won the Super Bowl. But they fell short against a very gritty Cincinnati team. So give me the Bengals. Joe Burrow's playing at an MVP level. They go into Pittsburgh, and they win by 3 or more points, guys. The Panthers at the Falcons, NFC matchup. Falcons obviously needed to stay in contention, but they open as 7.5-point favorites against Carolina.
Do we get any A-Bear picks this week or not yet?
I don't have them yet, so okay. We'll wait on that.
Sorry, I threw off track there.
No, okay, you're going to go to me first. Man, I know it means so much to Atlanta. So I think the Falcons. I'm going to go with Atlanta. I know it's more than a touchdown, but, man, the Panthers, they El Stinko last week. They didn't play well at all.
I know Chuba Hubbard's banged up.
And Chuba's not going to play.
Right.
He's gone for the year. So I'm going to go with the Falcons.
I do like the way that Bryce has been, you know, leading the Carolina Panthers of late. But I'm sticking with Mike on this one, too. I don't see the Dirty Birds dropping this game. And 7.5 seems a little steep here. But, man, Mike said it. Carolina Kitty Cats or El Stinko. I'll roll with the Falcons in this one to cover.
Another clean sweep here, guys. I'm going with the Falcons minus 7.5 as well. Just that offense for Atlanta versus the Panthers defense, which just got, I don't know what the word for it is. They got spanked last week against the Buccaneers. And I'm expecting something pretty similar here with Atlanta hosting the Panthers this upcoming weekend. Falcons minus 7.5. So we all have Atlanta in this matchup. Up next, we got the Saints at the Buccaneers. Tampa Bay, 13.5-point favorites. It's the same exact spread that we saw just a couple weeks ago, guys, when the Saints played Monday Night Football against the Packers.
Well, I picked the Packers then, and I'm picking Tampa Bay now. I think Tampa, man, it's everything from the Saints. They're walking wounded. And so, to me, this is the easiest pick of the bunch. I'm going to go with Tampa Bay.
I got burned by the Saints in the Green Bay game. I thought they could at least cover there. I thought they could get a victory even against the lowly Raiders. That didn't happen. So I'm jumping off the wagon and give me the Tampa Bay Buccaneers giving points here.
I'm really, really nervous, guys. No Derek Carr, no Alvin Kamara, no potential Kendra Miller. We'll see what happens tomorrow once we have the official injury designations. But the fact that all three of those guys have gone both days without practicing so far, it kind of tells me you might see Spencer Rattler yet again in the season finale. I'm with both of you. Again, this is our fourth clean sweep in the last four games, guys. Give me the Buccaneers, 13.5 points in Tampa Bay. Finally, wrapping things up, Sunday Night Football, probably the game of the year. The winner gets the one seed. The loser gets the five seed in the NFC and misses basically a home playoff game as a 14-win team. That's just awful. But we have the Vikings at the Lions, Detroit 3-point favorites at home.
Man, give me the Vikings. Man, Detroit, and God bless Aaron Glenn. What he's doing defensively to keep that unit together with all those injuries. But the Vikings have just been red hot offensively, and so I got to go with the Vikings here.
This one will be a little different, at least. I'm going to go Detroit Lions. They just impressed me so much. Mike mentioned, obviously, with the defense being decimated, kudos to Aaron Glenn, what he's been able to do there. But that offense is so scary and what they're able to do. Give me them giving the 3 points to a Vikings squad that, I mean, I keep waiting for them to falter. Kudos to them as well. But the Detroit Lions here, I think, are going to end up wrapping up that number one seed on Sunday Night Football.
It would be so disappointing for the Vikings, you know, to have such an unexpected season, and then all of a sudden they're sitting with a chance to get the one seed. But then it would be so disappointing for the Lions as well. This is a historic year for them. If they don't get the one seed, that first round bye, and then they host a playoff game in the second round, I mean, there's so much at stake here. It's the easy pick for Sunday Night Football this week. I'm really looking forward to this game. I keep betting against the Vikings, and it keeps biting me in the butt, but I'll do it again. I'm taking the Lions in this one, and, you know, I'm not confident really in the spread. What I'm more confident in is the over in this game. I know the Vikings' defense has been playing really, really well, but the Lions' offense is just elite. The Vikings' offense should be able to put up points in bunches against this Detroit banged-up defense. Give me the Lions minus 3, though, guys. This could very well be, you know, I say this pretty often when it's a really good game, could be a push, you know, like a field goal game. I think the line is pretty, you know, on point, I guess I would say, from Vegas. But give me Detroit minus 3. So, Mike, this is the one game we're different. And, Steve, you and I have the exact same pick, so we'll see how it goes for us.
What is the over, Charlie?
I'm going to have to look it up real quick.
Okay, I got you. Me. No problem.
According to BetESPN, guys, it's at 56.5 right now.
Man, I thought it'd be more than that. I would have thought maybe 59. I get you, Charlie. I know what you're talking about.
I think it's maybe because the Vikings defense has been playing really, really well, but I'm putting my faith into, you know, Ben Johnson and that Lions offense to put up some big points.
Yeah, in a matchup with the Detroit Lions, that could there be the potential of a new head coach for the New Orleans Saints, either the offensive or defensive coordinator coming to New Orleans? We're going to take a break after our Pick 6 segment. Hope you take Mike's advice and definitely not mine.
Well, no, don't take my advice.
Well, it's been a rough year for me all around, although at least I still had the lead on Hey Bear. I'm just hoping I don't come in last place out of the group.
If my 5-year-old granddaughter could pick, she'd be in the running with y'all too.
Mike, you've been a coin flip this year. 50-50 heading into this past weekend. Now you're at 54 and 53. As of now, I'm at 60 and 47. I'm doing the math because I haven't put it all out there yet. Bobby's at 50 and 57, and Steve, you're currently at 50 and 57 as well, so you're right there tied with Bobby.
With A-Bear now.
Yeah, you're even with him.
Next year, I'm going to get my 5-year-old. Oh, she'll be 6 then. I'll get her to pick.
We do. We should get our guest kid picker.
Yeah. And she might outdo me on that.
Taking a break here on Sports Talk. We're here at the Treasure Chest Casino till 7 o'clock. Stop by, say hey, put some money on some games as we get ready for the final week of NFL action. We'll return right after this, so stay tuned on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, closing out the 5 o'clock hour. Notre Dame now up 23-10, tacking on a field goal to extend their lead over the Bulldogs. But right now, Georgia is driving and desperately in need of a touchdown here.
No field goal. They need a touchdown.
Right. They need six for sure.
No question.
Looking at the Bulldogs, Mike, I know they got another ATN over there. Any more brothers in that stable coming out to the college football ranks?
I don't know. Man, but goodness gracious. Again, the story today has been how well Notre Dame's
defense
has really played well. You got the big kickoff return, but their defense is just, other than a few plays here and there, they have really played well basically for a little more than three quarters.
When we get back after the break, we'll start breaking down Saints versus Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Eileen Nachik from WFLA in Tampa joins us, as well as our Saints sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak. So stay tuned after the news break right here on WWL.